All right, good morning. If you can go ahead and find your seats, please, and go ahead and take a seat. Once again, welcome to Union Church. My name is Dwayne. I see a lot of new faces, which is fabulous. Maybe that means you're visiting for the holidays, one of the greatest cities on the planet, in my opinion. Maybe you live in the neighborhood and decided to come because everything else was kind of ending as summer tends to end. But whatever it may be, maybe someone invited you, whatever it may be, if this is your first time or first couple of times with us, we're super, super glad you're with us. My name is Dwayne. The lead pastor is not here for the next couple of weekends, so a few of us are filling in. It's great to see you all again this morning. If it's okay with you all, I'd like to start with a little bit of group therapy. They say that if you talk about your woes, it's one of the ways to heal and grow past them. And for me personally, one of the most disappointing moments of this year, especially in regards to the sporting world and rooting for your team and so forth, happened a few months ago in a small sporting event north of the border called the Super Bowl. And I'm not sure if you all know about the Super Bowl. Maybe you watch because you love the sport. Maybe you love the commercials or whatever it may be. But this year, my family and I were super excited about the Super Bowl because being from Atlanta, which we have been there, we were from there for about 8-9 years, obviously having the Falcons in the Super Bowl isn't all that common. And we, you can imagine, had the guacamole out, had the chips out. I was texting friends. We were ballistic because, as maybe you know, maybe you don't, I'll tell you real quick. Up until around the third quarter, actually 6 minutes left in this third quarter, ESPN had said that about 99.7% chance that the Falcons were going to win the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, I'm convinced that if you're at 99.7%, and I don't know how they measure this, but let's just call it a game and go home, right? Hopefully next time. But actually, the sad thing about it, and this is my disappointing moment, somehow or other, don't ask me how, I'm not going to go there, I'm not that great of a football player or fan, etc. The New England Patriots came back from 25 points behind and put in 31 points, 31 undisputed points, and took home the Super Bowl trophy. Now, honestly, that was a low for us, and my friends whom I had been tweeting who are Pats fans, obviously I turned off my phone, maybe not, but that was super disappointing for me. Now, one of the things that really awed me was seeing the quarterback of the Pats, which is a very famous quarterback, Brady, just get back in the game, and his focus, his determination, his yard after yard, pass after pass, I recognized leadership, I recognized greatness in those minutes of playing. Ridiculous, incredible. Now, one of the things I'd like to talk about with you all today is taking that next step, having that focus in the Christian walk as followers of Jesus. I love this whole idea of taking a step, taking a next step, taking a step. I made up my own little word, my own little way to say this, and I think I made it up because it's actually really bad English. But I like to talk to my kids about keep on stepping. Keep on stepping. Keep on taking another step. Keep on stepping. You know, you conquer the mountain one step at a time. So today I'd like to, in my opinion, this is my humble opinion, it's for you to take or to leave, I'd like to give you the insight into what I think as Jesus' followers, God, specifically Jesus, has called us to as a purpose in life, as a purpose as his followers. Now, maybe you're new, like I mentioned a couple minutes ago, and you're maybe just checking out this whole faith thing and this whole Christianity thing, or maybe you're just here because someone invited you to lunch, or because she's really cute. And whatever the reason may be, honestly, super glad you're here. This message specifically is kind of a behind-the-scenes message for you. You're getting to see behind the scenes of what us as believers believe Christ has called us to. And you might really like it, or you might find even more reasons to think that we're crazy. Because, yeah, we are somewhat a little bit crazy once in a while. One of the passages, the main passage we're going to be using today, is out of the book called Matthew in the New Testament. So real quick context, Matthew was one of the people, one of the 12 people that Jesus actually chose, he handpicked, and said, hey, come follow me. Come follow me. So Matthew left his profession, and actually we understand that he was a tax collector. And just as quick context, for those of you that maybe don't know this, tax collectors in that day were hated by their community because basically they were traitors. Basically they had decided, I'm going to work for Rome, and I'm going to charge my own people taxes. And they were known for not only charging what they should have charged, but charging extra. And we talk about being sinners in Christian communities. The sinners of that time hated the tax collectors so much, they wouldn't even let them into their category of sinners. They had to have their own category. So when you read in the Bible about the different people in the crowd and so forth, you read about the sinners and the tax collectors. Like, they were so bad, they had to have their own category. So this is who Matthew is. And Jesus invites him to follow him. So Matthew follows him around for about 3+ years and actually hears, experiences Jesus, experiences who we believe is God in person here on earth. And then, this is important, and this context has a purpose. For me, it's incredible to just notice, recognize the fact, this Matthew, the guy that walked with Jesus, at some point in his life, he's like, oh, you know what? Maybe I thought Jesus was coming back soon. Maybe things haven't quite turned out the way I think it was going to. But I got to write this down. This has got to live beyond my memory. This has got to live beyond just what I'm able to tell the few people that I'm around. So he actually pulled out his scroll, pulled out his pen and his ink, and he wrote this down. And this is what we're reading. This is in a time period where there are plenty, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people still alive who had seen what Matthew claims to have seen, who heard what Matthew claims to have heard. There are plenty of people around to say, you know what, those writings, that's just a bunch of garbage. Get rid of it. That's not worth reading. That's not worth sharing with anyone. But actually, what happened is the exact opposite. They said, hey, this is a pretty good record of what Jesus said. This is a pretty good record of what he did. You know what? We got to make copies of this. We got to spread it out. And that's how it survived all these couple thousand years to where we're at today. So, long context. The actual passage we're going to be reading today, Jesus is talking to his 12 disciples, his closest followers. And actually, depending where you read and how you put things together, these might be some of the very last words that he shares with his disciples before he's taken back to heaven. So some people would say, and I'd agree, the last words of someone, especially someone you admire, are pretty important. And that person, when they know that these are the last words, they're pretty careful about what they're saying. So let's dig into these words, and real quick, I'm aware that this passage, some of you just seeing it already know exactly where we're going. I'm aware that this passage and this text is completely possible that some of you are going to check out and think about the Super Bowl, or maybe pull out the phone and just watch those last few minutes. Please stick with me. I myself have learned some of these things in just the last few years of my life, and it's honestly changed my paradigm of what it means to be a Christ follower. So even if you have years and years of knowledge and already know what we even call these couple of scripture verses, I'd invite you to engage and see if maybe God, through his Holy Spirit, might speak to you today in a very special way. As I mentioned, these are very, very popular verses amongst Christians. We even have a title for it. Anyone recall what we call these next couple of verses? Anyone already know? We call it the Great Commission. So let's go ahead and read these next verses in Matthew. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Go there and make disciples of all nations. Take over the world, if you will. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Go and make disciples. If I could take a step back and make a short summary of these verses, I'm going to talk today about the importance of being and making disciples. What it means to be, what it means to make disciples. Jesus is talking to his disciples, so I'm understanding it's implied that we're supposed to be. And then he's saying, go and make disciples. Now, as I mentioned, this in Christian circles is called, amongst believers, the Great Commission. Maybe you've seen your notes already, but I put a title for today, the Great, Great Commission. And it's not because I stutter. But I think the reason I put that extra great in there is because I humbly think that as Christians, as Jesus followers in general, I'm including myself, have often oversimplified what Jesus said, what Jesus gave us as this Great Commission. I see it so often that as believers, we think, well, you know, that's for the missionaries. And if you're going to go to a different country and you're going to go to reach an unreached people group and you're going to do things that, you know, where there's no electric and no Facebook, which very, very, very few places like that today. But if you're going to go do that, then that's what it means to go fulfill the Great Commission. And I've heard that. I've seen that. And actually, I grew up in a family that did just that. I've also seen churches, what I would consider, limit this or make an effort to fulfill this Great Commission by doing what we would call in our circles evangelistic events. So maybe we would go to a park and put up a big screen or pull out some speakers and have a band and try to get as many people to come and listen as possible. And that's great. Sometimes we go and we would go knocking door to door. And we love it when people are knocking on our door. We have no who they are, right? But sometimes that's what we do to help people learn about Christ and hopefully find someone we can share the gospel with. But in my very humble opinion, I think when Jesus said this, I think the disciples' knees kind of started to tremble. And I think they're like, what? You gotta be kidding. That's like impossible. Like, we've never even been out of Israel. We've never even been out of the neighborhood. Or we've walked a couple hundred miles, maybe whatever, but into all the world and make disciples. So I think Jesus meant a whole lot more. And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, two verses that give me hints that he meant a whole lot more. The verse immediately before and the verse immediately after the verses we just left. And they'll be up here on the screen. The first immediately before says this. Jesus is still talking. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Could you just say wow with me? Wow. Like all authority. Like no one higher. Like I'm the guy. Then the verse we just read. Let's go real quick here. Sorry. Columns. Summary quick. All authority has been given to me. It's what Jesus says before the verse we just read. Now we go to the verse we just read. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All nations, again, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. We already summarized this into being and making. Go and make disciples. The verse immediately following says this, "I am with you always to the end of the age." I am with you always to the end of the age. So if we see these three verses in summary, we have all authority has been given to me, be and make disciples, and I will be with you always. Now, I'm not going to make fun here, but I hope you get my point. I don't really see this being necessary to go knock on the neighbor's door. And yeah, I understand, it takes some nerve, right? You're shaking and you get up your courage and you go over and you have to probably talk to the guard or, you know, who knows what the obstacles are, especially here in Mexico City. And you finally get to the door and you, and maybe you even run away and just maybe see it. Maybe they'll crack it. And then they see they crack it. So you come back like, good afternoon. I am your neighbor, and I'm here to invite you to the special program that we have at church. Would you please come in? If you can, I understand, because you know it's a bit, it made me think I'm weird, but I'm not sure if you follow me. It can be weird. I've done it. I don't know if you have. If you haven't, we'll talk about it later, but it's okay. I don't see this really being necessary. Oh, thank God, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, and if you read other passages, therefore it's mine as his follower. Oh, all authority is mine, therefore I can knock on the door. And oh, thank God, he's promised he'll always be with me, because if he wouldn't be with me, I'd probably just keel over and die right here. Now, again, I'm not trying to make fun, but do you see where I'm going with this? It seems like a small thing. It seems like a small thing for such huge statements. Such huge statements. And I'd like to dig in the rest of our time together, I'd like to propose what I think Jesus could have been referring to when he said that. Before we get there, Jesus changes everything. And I hope you've experienced this, and if not, maybe you're just starting to experience this, but Jesus changes everything. He has changed everything in my life on a very personal level. He's changed everything in our family on a personal level, but a little bit further. And when Jesus is allowed, he changes everything, the communities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is what this is all about, because this is a really big deal. And I'm going to reference another verse, which I'm going to assume most of us already know, maybe even have memorized, because we have said it over and over and over, especially depending on your Christian tradition. And I just want to start with the first part, and you don't have to say it out loud. But I want to just recognize the things that we have. Well, first of all, it's a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. When they asked him, hey, teach us how to pray, this is what he taught them. And so you already know what this is. This is the Lord's Prayer. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This part right here, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I feel like that's a huge hint of where we're going here in a second. Where we're going here in one second. One last idea and then we're jumping in. In my understanding, Jesus' words and his actions imply that now it's up to us. What he came to start, he basically said, you know, tag, you're it. See ya. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you always. But tag, you're it. Do through us, fulfill through us your will. Through us, may your kingdom come. All right, let's get into this. People a whole lot more intelligent and studied than I have suggested that society in general is influenced and formed, not sure about created, but formed through seven spheres of influence. You can look this up on the internet. Seven different spheres of influence. And I'm going to go through these kind of quick. But I am going to suggest to you with you today, I'm going to do my best to convince you that as Jesus' followers, people who have been changed by him, we are called to do his will through our lives. We are called to do his will in this earth. And I believe that one of the ways that God wants us to do that, maybe I'm not sure about the primary way, but he wants us to use the influence he has given us to do his will. And for me, it's super helpful just to identify these different spheres of influence and just to therefore land maybe specific ideas, specific next steps that I can be taking on a daily basis maybe to be fulfilling his will. So here we go. These are seven spheres of influence. And FYI, each of us has influence in numerous of these areas. It's not like, well, I only have influence in one area. Oh, I have zero influence in that area. I'm not quite sure who you are. I'm not quite sure what you do. But my guess is that in some way or another, you actually have influence maybe in every single area. So please, as I'm giving examples, hopefully I'll give an example that's relevant to you. But if not, please do try to connect the dots to what each sphere could mean for you. So spheres of influence that mold, that shape our society. The first is very obvious, and it's the government. We know, it's super obvious how government forms, how shapes our society. We vote, different officials, those officials do hold different offices, those officials create and implement, or not, different laws. And these things definitely shape the direction, the place, how we're going in society. And in this category, we're putting all the different representations of government, of leadership, of groups of people. Hopefully that's pretty obvious. It's not hard to understand the influence government has on society. Next up, I'm going to go kind of quick because I have other things I want to talk about yet. Next up is the whole sphere of business. The creating of, selling of, marketing of, purchasing products. And this here has incredible influence on our society. Maybe it's a little bit, you know, not quite so obvious, but just for an example, you know, here I've got a mobile device that not that long ago didn't even exist. And I'm not sure about you, but honestly, in my world, this thing takes up a whole lot of my time. It's super helpful, but it has truly changed the way I live. Now just think about that. Someone thought this up. Someone decided to develop it and create it and market it, and now it's all over the place. And maybe it's that kind or maybe it's different kinds. But these products have changed the way we live, how we relate to others, how we, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So whether you're on the buying end, the purchasing end, maybe you're on the creating end, maybe you're on the connecting the two end, maybe whatever it may be, we have incredible influence through this whole sphere called business. Next up, media. I mean, this is the whole idea of sharing information. I don't know if you've thought about this. For me, it's just a little bit disconcerting that my main understanding of people on the other side of the world comes from what I have read, maybe from what I've seen on TV, but what other people who hopefully have been there, who hopefully have walked with these people, who hopefully have interacted with them and truly do understand them, and hopefully have decided to present that in a very real, honest, transparent way. My understanding of people on their side of the world is basically informed by others and their reporting on their describing what they have hopefully truly experienced on the other side of the world. Now, I'm not against media here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not conspiracy theory, whatever. But that's really interesting. That's really fascinating. And then today, all of us contribute to the mass of social media and all the information in media and news and forming of ideologies and ways of thinking. We all are contributing to that. Everyone today is a news reporter if you've got Twitter or Facebook or whatever you decide to use. So this is a huge, huge sphere of influence. Next up, arts and entertainment. Arts and entertainment. Maybe it's beautiful works of art, which inspire societies into greatness or inspire them into beauty or into new ways of thinking. Or maybe they represent what we already are thinking. Or maybe it's music. Or maybe it's cinema. Or maybe, I don't know, people put sports in this as well. Arts and entertainment. This is huge. This is also huge, especially in today's society where we spend so much time in front of our screens. And I'm not criticizing anything here. I'm just trying to put out some information. And the way we think about each other, the way we think about numerous different things is incredibly influenced by the arts, by the entertainment that we are consuming, that we are watching, sometimes with the brain almost half off. Okay, we're coming closer to the end. We've got a couple more here. Next up is science and education, studying of how this whole thing works, and then teaching that to each other. Studying how this whole thing works, and this could be medicine, this could be, you know, out in space, and the whole idea of science, and then sharing this with each other. And for any of us that are parents, we know that from a very early age, teachers have an incredible influence on our kids. Not only teaching them that 2 plus 2 is 5, but teaching them, we're still awake, teaching them that who they are, how to think of themselves, how to think of each other in community, how do we interact with each other, am I accepted or am I rejected, it's incredible the amount of influence that's placed in the hands of education. And this goes all the way up into adulthood, and hopefully we're all continual learners, no matter even if we're out of school. It's incredible the amount of influence here. Got two more to go. Family. I mentioned family already. This is possibly one of the largest, most important influences on our lives. And some of you know our family, and you're immediately thinking, hey, that little logo doesn't work to represent your family, Dwayne. We've got 4 kids with my wife. All of them we love and are so happy to have them. So some of you are thinking, you know what? That's your family, Dwayne. But actually, this would be our family. You know, my wife and I are 2 older ones, 2 younger ones. But back to the topic. So family has an incredible influence on us. Incredible influence on us. And I'm so thankful for my wife, so thankful for my mom. Ladies, we couldn't do this without you. But real quick, interestingly enough, science and different studies have pointed to the fact that the father figure, or the lack thereof, has an incredible, immense, irreplaceable effect on each and every one of us. So yes, obviously the mother is incredibly important. You know, the first months, it's like mom almost all the time. And who's that stranger walking around and shows up all the time talking about the dads? So I'm not talking lower about the moms. But the importance of this, I mean, you had them hopefully. Today it's more and more common that one of the two are missing. So even if there's a hole where there should have been a person, that has an influence on our lives, on our society. Incredible. Incredible. And then lastly, we have the sphere of religion. And yes, religion. I'm not saying Christianity. I'm talking about any religion. Because if you just observe, it's very obvious that the system of beliefs of any culture, of any people, influences, if they're at all serious about what they believe, influences what they do. Influences how they think about themselves, how they think about each other, how they go about living life. And maybe it's, you know, hey, we got to defend this. We got to kill anyone and run over anyone that's in our way. Or maybe it's, hey, we got to love each other. And maybe I'm going to get run over in the process. And it's very, 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 very different, if you caught that. But be it what it may, religion has an incredible influence on our society. So here we go. Here's the 7 different spheres of influence. Now, I'm going to take a jump, and these aren't actually my words. I'm repeating the words of a well-known pastor from Chicago. But I love what Mr. Heibel says, and I agree wholeheartedly. And maybe you do, maybe you don't, but at least just chew on it a little bit. I believe that the church is the hope of the world. I believe that the church is the hope of the world. I believe that the Jesus followers are the hope of the world. In other words, another way to say this, I believe that you and I are the hope of the world. Now, before you think, I think I'm really great, if my wife would be here, she would say real quickly, he's not all that amazing. No, I don't think, and I'm pretty confident, I'm not the hope of the world. We'd all be really messed up if I was. However, what Christ has put in us, who Christ is, and us, I'm including each other, us all here now, us in Christ, Christ in us, the message Christ, God came through Christ to give the world, that is the hope of the world. And us as his followers, us as people who are hopefully seeking to live as he did, hopefully seeking to do as he did, or do as he told us to do, that is truly the hope of the world. I'd encourage you, if you want to argue with me, that's cool, do it. Hopefully not out loud right now. But go home and take these different spheres and just say, hey, what would it look like if government was going to be the hope of the world? What would it look like? And just ride that out. You know, follow it through. Just see where that takes you. It's not that pretty in any of those spheres. Some of you are already thinking, well, Dwayne, I got you. What you're saying is that religion should be in control. That everybody should follow your, because that's what you're thinking, your way of interpreting the world, the universe, how we got here, what you call God, what you say about Jesus. What you're saying is that your version of all of this should be what is in control and influencing and, you know, making all these decisions in all these different areas. And actually, that's not at all what I'm saying. Not saying that, not suggesting that. I think history has shown us that when that happens, actually a whole lot of ugly things happen. Not at all like what Christ came to do, to show, to ask us to do. So what am I suggesting? I'm suggesting that as Christ's followers, as Jesus' followers, we go into the world and we live out his will in each of these areas in a daily life. Day to day, I'm at work, I'm eating my breakfast, I'm with my family, I'm with my coworkers, I'm enjoying entertainment. But in each of these areas where we have influence, because we do, you do, that we seek God's will. That we seek to do as Jesus would do. Back to Jesus' prayer when he taught his disciples how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, it's interesting for me to think about the next verses, the next part of this prayer, which you probably already know, in the context of what I'm saying. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So, I'm going to make a couple comments, which is about a whole lot larger topic that we can dig into today. But I've seen, and I've been around Christians, honestly, my whole life, because that's what our family has done. I've seen people say, you know, hey, I believe in Jesus, and when's he coming back? I want to get out of this place. This is like hell. No, save me from hell and save me from this hell. Let's get out of here. And I've seen what people that write and talk about this type of thing, they would call it escapist mentality. You know, I've got my ticket out of here. When's the plane coming? Or if it's a boat and everything's sinking, where's the boat? I know, let's get out of here. You know, let's just isolate ourselves. Let's just do our own thing. And you know, hey, those that will get on the boat, we'll get on the boat at some time or other. Hopefully, that's what we think. And in the meantime, I'm just going to make sure that I am all right, that I'm doing what God's asking me to do. But the interesting thing here, I think, you don't ask for daily bread unless you're planning to stick around for a while. Unless you're going to have life. You don't ask to be forgiven of your debts, of your sin, of your offenses to God, unless you're aware that you're going to be out in the world, out and about, and that you are fallen, and that, hey, you're probably going to mess up. And you don't mention the fact that you're forgiving others unless you know you're going to be there interacting with others. And you're going to be interacting with others, and we're not all that great at one anothering one another all the time. And so maybe I didn't one another you like I should have, or maybe you didn't one another me like you should have. But there's things that we got to fix between us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The evil of living for me and my kingdom. The evil of seeking out my will and using even what you've said for my own benefit. No, this is about your kingdom. This is about your will. Help me live this out and do your will. Your kingdom come. And help me walk through this life as you have asked me to walk through this life. So I want to invite you to just dream with me a little bit. Just dream a little bit. And we are not criticizing, we are not pointing fingers, and I am not making any type of political or other type of statement, okay? Maybe I already lost half of you with the whole football thing at the beginning. What would the world be like? What would the world be like if Jesus, the person that came and walked and taught and healed and all these different things we read about, if Jesus would be in the midst of each of these different spheres? Let's try to land this as close as possible. What would it be like if Jesus was president of Mexico? What would it be like if Jesus was president of the United States? And I decided not to add any other comments to either of those. But what would it be like? What would our system look like? Let's bring it even closer to home. If the policeman who stops you on the road because he considered that it was important to stop you was fulfilling what I would call God's role of justice, and it was actually maybe Jesus who came and talked to you, I think, especially in this context, which I love and am committed to, things would change like crazy if just the policeman would actually be like Jesus. What would it be like if arts and entertainment, if Hollywood would promote and suggest and put in our minds the idea that the most incredible romantic relationship is between a married couple. Rather than having an affair, multiple girlfriends, and a couple of things on the side when spring break rolls around. What would happen with society if we would get this right? If Jesus would be in charge of production. And I'm not picking on Hollywood necessarily. They're doing what they do, what sells. What would it be like? Let's bring this even closer home. What would it be like if Jesus was your grandfather? What would it be like if Jesus was an aunt? What would it be like if Jesus was the father of your kids? Husbands, what would it be like if Jesus was our spouse's husband? Please, I'm pointing fingers back at me as well. Because if you see, this is like, you hear what I'm saying about the knees trembling and the weight and the responsibility? Like, this is the real deal. Do my will? Goodness gracious. What would the world be like if we get this right? What would the world be like? I love what Bonhoeffer wrote a while ago. Being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than it is about courageously and actively doing God's will. I love that. And if you know his story, which if you don't, I'd encourage you to go figure it out, go find it, read it, listen to it. It's incredible. Talk about a Christian who lived during the time of Hitler and what that meant. Courageously and actively doing God's will. So I'm going to suggest today, started out with the idea that it's important to keep on stepping. I'm going to suggest today that it's super duper duper important, if you consider yourself a Jesus follower, to be seeking, actively doing God's will. Actively seeking, actively doing God's will. One step at a time. And maybe it's 3 forward and 2 back. I get it. I do that. I'm not judging. But I think that's what Christ has called us to. And I mentioned maybe there's at least one of you in the room that you're still on the edges. You know, I'm not sure about this Christianity thing. They're pretty good about going to churches on Sunday. But what about Monday to Saturday? And so just between us, those of us that believe we're Jesus followers, I think that because we haven't gotten this right, there's not as many people knocking down the door wanting to know what we've got. That's what I think. And I'm talking about me, not talking about you. So if you don't still not completely bought in, forgive me, forgive us. Because I would think that we haven't truly represented the person we call our Savior. For those of you that like more context and more verses, there's another passage I want to read real quick. And this is from Paul, one of the persons that wrote most of the New Testament. And in this chapter of Corinthians, he's laying it out. And this is like a deep, maybe somewhat weird, and I say that respectfully, chapter about what happens after this life. And he talks about death, and he talks about resurrection, he talks about God's kingdom, and all these different things. But it's really interesting how he ends this chapter about, you know, all the things that are to come because of who we are in Christ. He ends it in a very, very, very applicable way. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I love that. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Yeah, all that stuff is going to happen, and I don't really think I have it figured out at all what's happening next after all this. But I do know what God's inviting us to today, this afternoon, Monday morning, as we all separate and go our different ways. I have an idea. I think that's a whole lot more. You can grasp that. You can actually do something with that. So the whole idea, back to where we started, that all authority has been given Christ, and because of Christ and what he's given to us, therefore it's also he's given it to us, this authority over all things, calling us to be, to make disciples, to live out his word, to live out his will, to share that, not always by preaching, not always by talking, not always by knocking on the door, but just being a great neighbor, just truly loving the other as you would desire, not only that, but as Christ has. That's where it starts. And this is where it gets to be amazing. That I will be with you always. I'll be with you always. And that always, because it's always, I would understand that to mean when you're doing great and when you backed up those two steps. I'm there. I'm with you. Always. So I need to do something together to end this time. I'd like for us to pray together the Lord's Prayer. Hopefully, as we do this, it will have more meaning than when we used to repeat it 20, 50 times for whatever reason. I'm not criticizing that. But I'd like to read it together slowly. And I'd like for us to think about what this could mean. I'd like for you to think about what this could mean today, tomorrow, in your life. So let's go ahead and read this out loud. You can stay seated. Let's just read this slowly, okay? Here's the Lord's Prayer. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is what I think is the great, great commission.